You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
He says it all started with a chemical taste in his mouth. But I disagree. I think that there were neon flashing signs long before he had a chemical taste in his mouth. Take a listen to our friends at KCAL.
Jack Chen's lawyer says his client has been sick for months.
So he started to have unusual symptoms back in about the spring of this year, March and April, and went in to get checked by a doctor and found out that he had had some physical effects and started to then connect the dots.
Connect the dots. Chemical taste in his mouth. Road signs, clues, a trail a mile wide. That's what I'm talking about. Listen to our friends at ABC 7.
Chen claims she demanded massages, and when he refused, quote, she stepped on my head until I did and began hiding money from me. The statements also detail the treatment of their 8-year-old daughter and 7-year-old son, claiming she'd tell them, you are so ugly, you look like a pig, or you are a sissy, and would yell a phrase at them meaning go die. It describes you using sleep deprivation to punish their kids.
Okay, whoa. Telling your child, you look like a pig, you're a sissy, go die. It's everything I can do to get the twins to go to bed, much less punish them with sleep deprivation and then the so-called chemical taste in his mouth. Take a listen to our friend Michelle Gile at KCAL 9.
Jack Chen alleges longtime verbal, physical, and emotional abuse against his wife, which extends to their two children. Quote, if our children let Emily know that they enjoyed spending time with me or showed affection toward me, then Emily would put them in their room and yell at them until they assured her they would not show affection toward me.
Okay, if you think you have problems in your marriage, did you hear all of that? Then you wake up one morning with a chemical taste in your mouth? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and Sirius XM 111. That just phrase keeps going through my mind. I woke up with a chemical taste in my mouth. You know, I've got an incredible panel lined up to break it down and put it back together again for you. But first, I want to go to a longtime friend and colleague, an awesome parent, and a man who puts his money where his mouth is. He's not just fighting addiction in our country. He has actually created a mobile addiction unit. He travels all over the country fighting addiction. With me right now, Dr. William Maroney, Chief Medical Examiner out of Michigan, author of American Narcan. Dr. Maroney, it's a real honor to have you, but before I go on and on about you, what are the many things that could cause a chemical taste in one's mouth?
The regular flavors that you would expect are cinnamon, ginger, chocolate, coffee, but chemical tastes mean there's a chemical or there's some kind of metallic substance.
Okay, now wait a minute. Dr. Maroney.
Yes.
Again, I'm just a JD and you're the MD. But yeah. I could have said everything you just said. I'm expecting some medical doctor expertise, wisdom coming from your mouth right now. I mean, I wouldn't think of a chemical taste as a flavor, number one. You said cinnamon, you said chocolate, you said a couple of other things that are yummy. But when I think chemical, I don't think yummy. Is this something like when you take a pill the doctor wants you to take and it makes your mouth taste bad?
One of the reasons why we swallow our pills and we don't put them in our mouth over long periods of time is that all chemicals used in medicine taste bitter. They taste metallic. They taste chemical. So they package it up and put it in something to let it go in your stomach.
Quickly.
If you have a medicine, it tastes bad. So that usually means if you have a taste in your mouth, you've been given a chemical. Maybe a poison.
Would anything in nature, I can't think of any, like, okay, say you have Italian, or you, like you said, have chocolate or cinnamon or vanilla. You don't get a chemical taste in your mouth.
No, you get chemical taste from chemicals. That's exactly where something foreign, something synthesized.
You know, to Karen Stark joining me. Karen Stark is a renowned psychologist joining us out of Manhattan. You can find her at Karen Psych. And that's Karen with a C. Karen, did you hear what he's saying about what's going on in their home? Forget the chemical taste. It's really hard for me to get that out of my mind. This guy wakes up with this horrible taste in his mouth. Chemical. I mean, I can understand if he went to bed without brushing his teeth, and or he got up and it might taste like dinner the night before, or if he had coffee that morning. But chemicals, there's nothing good about that. But did you hear the other stuff? Calling their children pig? You look like a pig. You're a sissy. Go die.
You know, it makes you wonder, Nancy, what was he doing? At least it makes me wonder, why was he there for so long?
Wait, are you somehow blaming him because the wife is calling the child a pig?
No, I'm blaming...
You're saying, why was he there so long? Well, why does she call them a pig? Can we just start with her? It came out of her mouth, not his. Why is she calling her children a pig? I mean, have you ever gone to NASCAR, Karen Stark? Somehow, I think the answer is going to be no. Have you ever been to NASCAR?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Maybe Formula One for you. But Dr. Maroney, you know in NASCAR where they wave the big flag and the race is off?
Yes.
Okay. So if my husband said, go die, to one of the children. I mean, I've made it very clear, Karen Stark. Have you ever, okay, let me try something you can relate to, Karen. Joining me from your high-rise office in Manhattan. Have you ever seen Parent Trap?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, I guess you saw the old one with Haley Mills. Have you seen the reboot with Lindsay Lohan?
Okay. Because
my daughter, that's her favorite movie. So I can't extrapolate onto you. She makes me watch it like every other month. The reboot. Okay. In the reboot, the husband, you know, the boyfriend, I think it's Dennis Quaid. This is Dennis Quaid. And he has a new hot girlfriend. And she, of course, doesn't get along with his twins, who are Lindsay Lohan and Lindsay Lohan. And she says, look, it's either them or me. Pick. And he very quickly says, them. I pick them. So, I mean, you know, you call my child a pig, you're out. Bam. So I kind of see what you're saying, Karen Stark. But can we, instead of focusing on him, can we talk about her? Why is she calling the children pig?
Because obviously there's no doubt about it, Nancy. There's something wrong with the mother.
Oh, dear. What's with the experts today? Okay. Dr. Maroney says you get a chemical taste in your mouth because you've eaten a chemical. Okay. All those 8 years of education right down the crapper. And then Karen Stark, yes, says she calls her children a pig because there's something wrong with her. Okay, I could tell a jury that. Karen.
She's a narcissist, Nancy.
Oh, you love to throw that one out. I've never had a single defendant that you didn't say was a narcissist. And Dr. Bethany Marshall always says there's sex massive shit. I don't know what she says, bondage and everything. So explain to me, why would you say that to your child? Go die. You're a pig.
Okay. Somebody who has absolutely no conscience would say that to their children. Somebody who, something is wrong with her. I know you're saying that that's what anyone could say, but anyone would not be a mother who would speak that way to their children. She doesn't have that kind of affect. She doesn't have that kind of sympathy and empathy to be able to understand.
There you go. Hold on. I've actually finally, Maroney, I'm writing down a note, and it's not because of anything you said, no offense. No sympathy or empathy. Now I'm getting somewhere. Because Matthew Mangino joining me, high-profile lawyer, former district attorney, former parole board member, I don't like that part, and author of The Executioner's Toll, MatthewMangino.com. Matthew, you've handled so many cases that escalate into something horrible that start with little things like what you say to each other, what you, how you address your children, her calling her child a pig. You look like a pig. You're a sissy. Go die. To me, that's the begin, the tiny little nick that turns into a crack, that turns into a giant cavern that you can't cross.
Well, Nancy, we know that she called the children a pig only because of what her husband has said in a restraining order. Okay, so we have to rely on her husband, Dr. Chen, is telling the truth. To be honest, I'm a little skeptical about this whole situation. If he has been the subject of physical abuse, if the children were subject to emotional abuse, you know, why didn't he seek a restraining order earlier? He had that opportunity to
do that. Matthew Mangino, hold it right there. With me, private investigator Mona Kay at Mona Kay Investigations, joining us out of Omaha. Mona, you have handled so many domestic investigations. In my mind, you're hearing Matthew Mangino say, why didn't he file a TRO earlier? Why did he stick around and take it? You could say that about every person that did not file a TRO or leave the marriage on the first incident.
Right. Well, I agree. I'm a little I'm suspect of the timing of a lot of it. I've worked hundreds of domestic cases where there are false allegations made. And not saying that this is, but, you know, we're taking his word that this abuse took place, verbal, physical abuse toward himself and his kids. And I'm just wondering, you know, if over those last 5 to 6 years when he said that this was going on, especially with his kids, did he document, you know, any of this? Did he record any of it? Audio, video?
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Mona Kay joining me, very well-known private investigator out of Omaha. I guess you and Matthew Mangino, I don't like what you're saying, but you're right. If you're going to file a TRO and go into court, you have to explain why you've waited 5 or 6 years to do that. Also, you have the issue that it's much less likely for a judge, wrong or right, to believe a man that says he has been abused or mistreated. Okay, for you doubting Thomases, that would be Matthew Mangino, high-profile lawyer and private investigator Mona Kay. All right, fine. You don't necessarily believe she called her children a pig and said, go die? Take a listen to our good friend, Amy Robach, at GMA.
According to the court documents, Chen says he started noticing a chemical taste in my lemonade in March and April, seeing a doctor who diagnosed him with 2 stomach ulcers, gastritis, and esophagitis. After installing hidden cameras in the kitchen, he says I obtained footage of Emily poisoning me on 3 occasions. The images allegedly show you taking a bottle of Drano, a chemical drain cleaner, out of a cabinet and pouring it into her husband's drinks on multiple occasions.
Wow. That's subtle. Pouring Drano into lemonade. And you know what it reminded me of? To Dr. William Maroney, you and I have discussed this case before. This is a case that I actually investigated and attended the trial and staked out the defendant. Her name was Lynn Turner. And here you got a claim that Drano was poured into lemonade, masking the flavor. Take a listen to our friends over at Forensic Files, Cold Hearted.
It was quite obvious that Mr. Thompson died as a consequence of an acute ethylene glycol intoxication or poisoning.
When I found out Randy had died from antifreeze poisoning, I knew when they exhumed Glenn's body, when they took those tissues, I knew they were going to find out he died from the exact same causes.
And that's precisely what happened. Officials exhumed Glenn Turner's body, retested his tissue samples, and confirmed there was a lethal amount of antifreeze in his system.
Antifreeze, in Jell-O. Was it Jell-O or Jell-O shots? It was Jell-O. Plain Jell-O. Now, you know, to you, Dr. William Maroney, Chief Medical Examiner, joining us out of Michigan and author, Dr. Maroney, antifreeze has a kind of a sweet taste, I understand, and that is why you don't want your car to leak in case a dog may come and taste it and think it's sweet. That was hidden in Jell-O by Lynn Turner, one dead husband, one dead boyfriend, lots of insurance. And here we have an allegation that Drano was hidden in lemonade. Would that work?
Well, I think the number one thing is Drano is sodium hydroxide. That's a very caustic chemical. And the lemonade is acidic, so it kind of balances. But you're going to get that chemical taste. And the sign that he had gastritis and ulcers completely matches sodium hydroxide exposure because it's caustic. It's going to eat through your stomach. It's going to eat through your esophagus. And you really, that was the poison because it's acute in small doses. It'll look like he's got reflux. He's got GERD. But it's eating away parts of the stomach that are going to bleed.
Did you just say GERD?
GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease. Very common in overweight people that have stomach problems.
I don't know that this guy's overweight, but I do know he had serious, serious stomach problems. Take a listen to our friends at KCAL.
Her husband is a doctor as well, and his name is Jack Chen. He has videos from July 11th, 18th, and 25th allegedly showing his wife in their kitchen with a big bottle of Drano. Now, according to Jack Chen's lawyer, in one of the clips, you can see Chen's wife removing a piece of saran wrap that was placed over Chen's lemonade drink. She then pours Drano allegedly into that cup and puts the saran wrap back on top.
She tried to kill him.
Poisoned, an Irvine husband says, with Drano. Dr. Jack Chen has three videos to prove his wife is behind it, according to his lawyer. These are screenshots, which are contained in court documents from cameras hidden in the couple's kitchen in July. They allegedly show the suspect, Yu Yu, who is also a local physician, pouring drain cleaner into her husband's lemonade.
She takes up the bottle, she pours it in, she puts the cap back on, puts it back into the sink, as though nothing else was happening in her day. It is very calm, very methodical.
Okay, Mangina, how you like me now? All right, because now you're saying there's no evidence she called her children a pig. She's caught on video. You know what? I'm going to go to a special guest joining us, Matthew Mangina, so you and Mona Kay, private investigators, can hear some more facts. Nathan Percy is with us, crime and public safety reporter with Southern California News Group, and you can find him on Twitter at NDPercy. Nathan, thank you for being with us. Nathan Percy, I'm really amazed that he lived long enough to actually set up surveillance video because it seems like he had been poisoned over a period of time and was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Nathan Percy joining us, Southern California News Group. Start at the beginning. Tell me everything.
Yeah, according to his declaration, these court documents, he said he noticed this chemical taste in March or April of 2022. I think most of us here in Southern California are going with that March date, but some point between then and the time he put the cameras up was that doctor's appointment where he was diagnosed with the ulcers, the gastritis, and the esophagitis. And those kind of confirmed his suspicions that maybe his wife was putting something into his drinks in the morning.
Hold on just a second. I want to try to digest what you're saying. Nathan Percy joining me, crime and public safety reporter, it's like drinking from the fire hydrant. Too much, too fast. Hold on, Nathan. To Dr. William Maroney joining us, ulcers, gastritis, and esophagitis. Is that what he just said? And what is that?
That's exactly what would look like from being given Drano. Drano eats away at the tissues inside of the stomach. It eats away at the tissues in your esophagus, the tube that goes down from your mouth to your stomach. And it looks like maybe there's just too much acid he has reflux acid. And the reason why she picked Drano is sodium hydroxide cannot be found in tests. Like if you're being poisoned with arsenic or cyanide or rat poison or propylene glycol or formaldehyde, you don't see it. It's natural chemical elements.
Okay, wait a minute. You just made a long list of chemicals and substances. Are you saying, for instance, formaldehyde would show up in tests and Drano would not, or that they would both show up?
Drano won't show up. It's sodium hydroxide.
And I believe that, Nathan Percy, is a very strong indicator as to why we cannot discount the fact that the suspect, the wife, the mother of Jack Chen, Emily, she goes by Emily, is also a doctor. So she would very well know exactly what Dr. Maroney's talking about. They would run the panels and nothing would show up.
Yeah, you'd have to think that she would have some indication or some knowledge of that. She works as a dermatologist out of a Mission Viejo clinic, and he works as a radiologist. So you'd have to imagine that they, if she doesn't know it directly, they share notes on things, and she would have some knowledge of you know what would happen if a chemical was added to someone's drink, particularly you know Drano.
Do you know where they live, Nathan?
Yeah, they live in Irvine, which is normally a pretty quiet city, which is surprising because it's you know, about 300,000 residents. It's in Southern Orange County. There's not a lot that happens down there in the way of violent crime or things like that. There are some domestic things that happen every now and then, and we get a lot of, you know, most of our reporting down there, from my experience, has been traffic collisions and things like that. But
they live also in a pretty pricey neck of the woods, Nathan Percy.
Yeah, from what we understand, it's multi-million-dollar homes in that area. It's in the southern portion of the city. They live kind of in between two universities, UC Irvine and Concordia University. And yeah, it's a nice area down there. It's there's a big Asian population in Irvine. It's about 43-44% according to the latest 2021 census quick facts. And again, it's for being such a big city, it's usually pretty quiet.
You know, I'm just thinking through something. Let me go to you, Karen Stark, joining me, psychologist joining us out of Manhattan. Karen, you and I have seen where one poisoning is not enough, where the perp will poison a spouse, then poison a child. And very often, like with Lynn Turner that I just showed you, one poisoning of the husband was not enough. Then she went on to poison her boyfriend. It's almost as if it's an illness, and I don't mean insanity. I mean, for instance, I've always said, and anybody jump in if you disagree, Matthew Mangino, you may. In all the years I prosecuted and read literally thousands of case files, I determined that sex offenders and burglars could not be rehabilitated. There's something about the thrill of burglarizing something, going in when nobody's around. You just, oh, and peeping Toms, but I lump them in with sex offenders. They cannot be rehabilitated. Doesn't mean they're insane. It just means it's almost like a compulsion. And I think that about poisoners. I think very often once they get started, there will be another victim, such as a child. Karen?
Well, Nancy, that has to do with that thrill that you're talking about of actually thinking that you have the power to control someone's life. And then the thrill comes actually from watching somebody get sicker and sicker. And here you're talking about a woman who's an abuser to begin with. Is that alleged abuser with the way that she treats her children and her husband? And on top of that, there's that excitement. She's a doctor. She knows exactly what she's doing, and she knows the effect that it's having on his body, how it's making him sick. And so there's an excitement to realizing that she has the power, the control to be able to take life in this way.
Dr. Moreno, let me throw you a question before I lose this thought. I first heard of serial poisoners, believe it or not, in my hometown of Macon, Georgia. My mother, before she worked herself up from a bank teller to be a CFO of a company, she worked at a bank across from the courthouse. And everybody would go eat lunch, all the judges, the sheriffs, the prosecutors, the lawyers, at this diner called Ann Jett's. Well, Ann Jett ended up being convicted of poisoning two husbands, one mother-in-law, and one child or two children. And then she was convicted and she went to the state penitentiary for women and became the head of the cafeteria. True story. That's where I have this in my head that once you start with the poisoning, you very often can't stop. So have you ever seen a poisoning victim? Have you done an autopsy on a poisoning victim, Dr. Moroney?
Yeah, poisoning victims that go to autopsy are usually bizarre or strange things. Rat poisoning, mercury. We've seen acute exposures to, you know, pesticides, farmers in the field, things like that. And if it's very low doses, people don't catch on. And like I said before, you know, that sodium hydroxide, that's the chemical taste in your mouth. It's caustic. It's lye. It's very basic and it's very corrosive. And if you gave enough sodium hydroxide once, when they cut you open in autopsy, they would find it. It would be a clump of stuff and it'd be identifiable. But if you give it in low doses, you cause holes in the stomach, holes in the esophagus, and people bleed internally.
I mean, when you look at that as a doctor, would you know it was from poisoning or would you suspect more natural causes?
It looks like too much acid. You're having ulcers because you make too much acid and you eat the wrong foods. But if somebody poisoned you in a big chunk, a big Mondo piece, you'd see that piece would still be there and it would be sent to the lab.
Is that a technical medical term, a big, quote, Mondo piece? Okay, I'm writing that down and I will use that against you later. Guys, take a listen to our friends at ABC7. This is Irene Cruz.
Radiologist Jack Chen says he noticed a chemical taste in his drinks in March. He set up a hidden camera in their kitchen, capturing video evidence of his wife, Yu Yu, allegedly taking Drano from under the sink and pouring it into his lemonade in three separate instances in July. A doctor diagnosed Chen with two stomach ulcers, gastritis, and esophagus inflammation.
Wow. Straight back out to our investigative reporter joining us. So not just once, not just twice, but three times that we know of that were caught on camera. The Lord only knows how many times she did it before. With me, Nathan Percy, joining us from Southern California News Group. Three times. Tell me, where was the hidden camera placed in the kitchen? Do we know?
So he, from the documents that we see, he had two cameras in the kitchen. The main one that allegedly shows her pouring the Drano into his drinks is kind of a wide-ranging view. It looks like it's maybe in the corner, like by a hallway. That shows the entire kitchen. He had a second one that he also placed underneath the kitchen sink right next to the Drano bottle. And there was a couple screenshots that were included in his court documents that showed allegedly, you know, her hand reaching in to grab the Drano bottle from underneath the sink. So the first one is kind of a more wide ranging. Those are the ones that you've kind of seen on the news and you've seen those camera angles where you've got kind of a view from the far side and it's pointing towards kind of a back screen door, back sliding door, with the sink on the right side and the cabinets and all that on the left. So that was the one that kind of, that they're alleging shows the entire act taking place.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Nathan Percy joining us, Southern California News Group. You've seen the other one that's the close-up camera, according to you, from the court documents that you've read, is right there with the Drano, and you see a hand reach in and get the Drano, and then I guess he is matching that up with the wide-range shot of her coming in and out of the kitchen. Question, how were the cameras hidden?
That I don't know at this point. I'm not sure exactly what he did to conceal them. I know the one in the kitchen sink is off to the side. I would guess, if you were looking from side to side when reaching into the kitchen sink, you might be able to see it. But if you're just going in there knowing what you're grabbing, you might not notice it if you're just going after, a bottle underneath the sink. Other than that, the other camera on the far side, I'm not sure exactly what he did to conceal that one.
You know what I was just thinking about? Mona Kay joining me, private investigator out of Omaha at Mona Kay, the letter K, Investigations. Mona, I was just about to say, wow, she must have been crazy to reach down and get the Drano and not notice there's a video camera right there. Not true. Not true, because I was just thinking about when I reach under the sink to get out, for instance, olive oil or whatever I'm getting out from down under there. I don't look back in the back of the sink. I don't look up at the top of the cabinet that could be pointed down at the olive oil or really anywhere. Why would you? So that was pretty ingenious on his part. What I was coming to you about, Mona Kay, to comment on that, but I love secret cameras. And they come in, so Jackie, be careful. I see you in here drinking your coffee.
I know exactly where it is, Nancy. It's okay.
But they are so, now they're the size of, the tip of a pin. You would never notice them. I mean, you can get them in teddy bears. You can get them in clocks. You can put them on the oven and no one would ever notice it. Mona Kay, do you use those a lot in your private investigation business?
Yes. Every once in a while we use those, and they are very accessible to anybody. You can get them online, surveillance type stores, but they come in all different sizes. They can be very well hidden. You can, a ballpoint pen can have a camera in it.
I was just going to say, Mona Kay, you and I discussed the use of a recording ballpoint pen and the Suzanne Morphew murder mystery. Mm-hmm. Remember, she thought her husband, Barry Morphew, was having an affair. So she had put a pen, it looked like a ballpoint pen, in his truck to try to catch him talking to his girlfriend. So, I mean, it can look really like anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's really no telling how the husband had this disguise. And thank God in heaven he did. Or people like Matthew Mangino, high profile lawyer, would say exactly what he was saying at the beginning of our program. Just because she called her children pig and said, go die, that doesn't mean he was poisoned. I guarantee you Mangino would argue at trial, back me up, Mangino, that these ailments, ulcers, gastritis, esophagitis, could have been caused naturally because Moroni says sodium hydroxide does not show up in the test.
Well, right. And this is all too perfect, Nancy. Number one, I'd like to know what he told his doctor when he went to see him. He suspected because of this taste, this chemical taste in his mouth, that he was being poisoned as far back as March. Did he tell his doctor that? Was that something that his doctor considered? And with regard to the cameras, this is just so perfect. I mean, you have three different dates during the month of July.
You know what? You kill me. When I don't have a video, you go, you can't prove it. When I do have a video, you say it's too perfect. You have a video.
Well, Nancy, think about this. If you have these videos set up and you're going to review these videos and you see your spouse put Drano in your drink on July 11th,
yeah,
you're going to sit there for two more weeks and make sure I get some more documented evidence that I'm being poisoned? Or are you going to say, well,
yeah, but if you're not drinking it, I mean, I wouldn't eat or drink anything in the whole house, but I would be very afraid she might be poisoning the children. So let's just follow your rationale through to its logical conclusion. You're saying because he waited to catch her on video two more times, ergo, therefore, what?
I'm not sure what's in that bottle or what she's putting in the drink. I mean, she's so casual about it. She pulls this bottle out, walks over to the table, puts this substance in his hot lemonade,
and then puts it away. I mean, if I was trying to poison somebody, I'd certainly try to be a little more discreet about it, maybe hide it, you know, make sure no one sees me.
Oh, so the killer, the sneaky killer, is not sneaky enough for Matthew Mangino. Good luck with that in front of a jury, Mangino. Is that Maroney jumping in?
Nobody recycles and reuses Drano bottles. There's nothing. You have to find a place to put the Drano so it doesn't.
Yeah, maybe she was storing the sugar in there, Mangino. Thank you, Maroney.
Ridiculous.
Thank you for throwing me that bone right there. Guys, take a listen to Our Cut 5. This is Amy Robach at GMA.
Chen's attorney speaking with GMA.
This is an incredibly intimate way to commit a murder. She had to know what his routine was, what his preferences were. A methodical, intimate, horrific way to murder someone. It's just mind-boggling to me.
Chen has also filed for divorce and requested full custody of the couple's two children, alleging Emily's parenting, if you could call it that, revolves around yelling, insulting, verbally abusing, hitting, pushing, pulling, and being emotionally abusive.
So back to you, Nathan Percy, joining us from Southern California News Group. You say there's the wide range video that Matthew Mangino, you know, he's grasping at straws. You've got the wide range video of her coming in and out of the kitchen. You have the close range video that's, I guess, in the cabinet where you see the hand come in and get the Drano. Do I understand, Nathan Percy, that she actually had his lemonade prepared with saran wrap over it? It's like she laid it all out the night before or something?
That I'm not aware of. Unfortunately, I'm not sure whether he had prepared it and at one point started putting the saran wrap over it.
Hold on, Karen Stark, jump in.
According to what I read, he prepared the lemonade. He put the saran wrap on it, and then she took it off, added the Drano. And by the way, I don't know what was so strange about the fact that she didn't hide it. She didn't know there was any camera on her. So, of course, she was doing it and putting it away again. And then what's interesting, Nancy, is that she stayed there while he sat down. He came into the kitchen, sat down, prepared to drink it. So, again, there's no feeling there whatsoever about, well, you know, maybe I'm causing harm or I'm doing something terrible and I'm watching him do it. No, she's happy to be watching him drink that Drano.
She stayed there to watch him drink it. Is that what you just said?
Well, she was there while he was sitting down and drinking it.
To make sure he drank it. Mm-hmm. Mona Kay, private investigator, jump in.
I just have a thought. How many people in their own home with their own family members cover their drinks with saran wrap and walk away just to come back and take a drink? I mean, wouldn't that alert her to maybe some suspicion on his part?
Guys, Mona Kay, that's an excellent point. No, I don't put saran wrap over my drink. But you and Mangino keep trying to defend her and put blame on the husband. He's the one that has his stomach eaten up with acid.
Right. I'm just saying that wouldn't she maybe be suspicious that he was on to her also?
Oh, yeah, I see that. I guess she was so hell-bent on killing him that she didn't notice. Or maybe that was his routine.
Maybe
he made his drink and covered it up.
Allegedly, he made the lemonade. He prepared it the night before. This is what I read anyway. And he put saran wrap over it.
Now, guys, if you think you've heard it all, listen to Our Cut 12 from KCAL.
When I was looking through the court papers, what it said was that at one point she called her husband and asked if he would bail her out, but he refused. The district attorney has not filed charges against her yet. I also learned today that Jack Chen's lawyer went to the jail when Yu was still in jail and presented her with this restraining order. She seemed a bit confused about all of it, and he said to her, well, you've been poisoning your husband. That's why we're getting a restraining order.
She actually called the husband she's been poisoning on video and asked him to pay the bail, to bond her out of jail. Is that right, Nathan Percy?
Yes, that is. That is also included in his declaration that he wrote in petitioning for the temporary restraining order. which according to the court's website was filed on August 5th, which was one day after she was arrested by Irvine police on August 4th.
When is this going to court, Nathan?
There's a hearing on the temporary restraining order on August 18th. And she's been ordered to stay at least 100 yards away from the three of them and their home until at least that time when a hearing can be when the hearing takes place.
Has she actually bonded out?
Yeah. So the Irvine Police Department arrested her on suspicion of poisoning. It wasn't on suspicion of attempted murder or anything like that. And I think for the criminal aspect of it, that's kind of a big deal at this point because the bail amount for that charge is $30,000, which, you know, it would be much higher if they were suspecting her of attempted murder.
Who is the district attorney that's sitting on these charges? He's not one of the woke DAs that won't prosecute anything like Gascon, is he?
No. The DA in Orange County is Todd Spitzer. I've been in contact with his office, and they're reviewing the evidence in this case. They haven't come to a conclusion on charges yet.
Really? Well, maybe after she takes a shot at her husband, they'll come around with an attempted murder charge or three of them. Good grief. She's caught on video. What are they waiting for? Okay, we wait as justice unfolds. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.